give God another hand clap of praise on this blessed day, on this family day. Amen. Amen. On last week, we spoke from the subject, divine assurance. And the emphasis of our message was verse number one, dealing with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. On this morning, for the next few moments, we want to share with you from the sermonic thought, divine alignment, divine alignment. In order for us to experience and live within this divine assurance, then we as sheep, we as God's children, the beloved of God, must make sure that we are walking according to God's word, that we are walking according to his purpose, that we are walking according to his plan. The plan that God had for our lives yesterday was great, but we have to make sure we're still en route on today. God is a God who does not change, but things he has for us take some extremely interesting turns. You can go to sleep and all is well, and you can wake up the next morning and your life can be turned upside down. It is at those moments that you must understand, you must find yourself in the will of God. It is there that you have to challenge yourself, asking yourself, God, what do you have for me to do this day? In order for us to experience the fineness of God's divine assurance, we must be in God's plan, his path, his alignment. And so every now and then, God will take us on some strange turns. He will take us to some unusual valleys. He will even will allow us to run into some detours. He will allow us to get on highways that we don't want to be on to get us where he wants us to be. All we have to do is say, God, which way do you want me to go? In understanding his alignment, there are times when God interrupts our plans to make sure that we remain on his schedule and his course for our life. There are times when God will show up when you don't want him to show up because you were enjoying your own plans. Talk back to me. There are times that you are enjoying life so well that you don't want God to interrupt right now. But because of who he is and what he's trying to get out of our lives, he wants us to always be in the right place at the right time. As we said in our earlier service, the worst place to be is where God used to be. The worst place to be is where God was blessing. The worst place to be is where God was pouring out his anointing. That's why every morning we get up, we must ask God, which way would you have me to go? The writer of Psalm 23 is our dear friend David, who has an unusual relationship with God. It is such a close relationship that even out of David's folly, even out of the issues of David's life, that God says, I love David. It is here in verse number one that he talks about that interesting relationship. And then in verse number two, he says there are times where God takes control of our life and he makes us do something. It is always interesting that God, when he makes us do things, they're typically things we don't want to do. If someone slaps you on the other cheek, you ought to turn and give them the other one for them to slap you again. Are you serious, God? But in understanding the humility of God, he says, turn the other cheek. There are times when people have attempted to do you ill will, and God says, if you're really my sheep, pray for them who spitefully misuse you. Love them who try to hurt you. Treat your enemies better than you would treat yourselves. That is not in our normal makeup, and sometimes God has to make us. Can I get an amen? God will make you forgive folk who have wronged you, who do not even deserve your forgiveness. But to operate as a kingdom, operate as a citizen of the kingdom, there are things that you and I have to do because it is the will of God. And so David is suggesting to us today that there are times when God makes us. He, number one, if you're writing, he takes control. He takes control of our lives. Some of you may argue, well, he's always in control. Yes, he is, but he gives us the opportunity to make some decisions on our own. And as we learn more of him, his expectation of us is that we make better decisions as we mature with and in this Christian life. But there are times he wants to take control and he takes charge and he makes us. The scripture says he makes us to lie down. In other words, there are times in our life where God wants us to take rest. He wants us to take a deep breath. He wants us not to take ourselves so seriously, not to be so stiff-necked and not to be so tight and enjoy ourselves and just relax. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And so he makes us to lie down. And then the passage said he makes us to lie down in green pastures. I can remember growing up as a young boy, my father would take us sometimes to the New Orleans Saints game, man. We would sit there, and I would always talk about, I am so amazed how this grass is always green, even though it's inside. It wasn't until I grew up, come on, talk back to me, that I didn't understand it was artificial turf. And many times, that's how it is in our lives. We are trying to rest in green pastures, and many times those pastures are only artificial turf. That's why when we rest, we have to make sure we are resting where God has created a place for us to rest. He takes control because he cares, or he takes control because he's compassionate. And then the green pastures show us how much he cares. Isn't it amazing that at our times we can go through some tense moments in our life. And in the midst of crying, in the midst of not knowing what to do next, God gives us a breath of fresh air. And in the midst of everybody else losing their mind, we are able to laugh knowing that all is well with God. We are peculiar people. We are part of a gazing stock where we don't act like those who have no hope. But with the Lord, we always understand that he is in control and he's trying to position his sheep for greener pastures. Not only does he make me lie down, does he take charge and control, but he places me in green pastures. And when you understand sheep, when you study sheep, sheep never lie down unless they are full. In other words, unless their needs have been met. So anytime you can rest in the Lord, it is a sign that your rest says to God, God, you've done it again. God, you've met my needs again. God, you're doing something that only you can do again and again. Many times we want to rest in green pastures. And when we do it our way, we'll get to green pastures and we still have no rest. We're still antsy. We're still out of control. We still are not comfortable in those green pastures. But when God shows up and when God grants unto us green pastures, it is amazing how you can rest in uncomfortable places. Come on, talk back to me. I believe it was one time in Acts that the prisoners were there praying and singing at midnight. Even though they were in jail, the Bible says they begin to pray and sing praises unto God because they were not worried about the jail when they knew they had freedom and salvation with God. Even in the place where it was uncomfortable, they were allowed to find comfort because they had the peace of God on the inside. The divine alignment of God is to keep the sheep comfortable but more importantly, to keep them in his care and in his direction. Because there are times through his divine providence where he's going to take you to some places that you don't want to go. And it's in those places where our Christian character will be built, where we will decide to trust God or look at our situation. My brothers and sisters, all of us in here at one time or another has been in a place where we had an option. We had an option to trust what we were seeing or to trust God and what he has already said. If God has already spoken to you and said that you are victorious, then no matter, even in the face of defeat, you need to cry out, "Victory is mine," says the Lord. One of my dear friends had the blessed privilege many years ago. He was a big fighting fan, and I believe it was, what's the guy's name? George Foreman, and he was fighting Evander Holyfield. And if my memory serves me correct, they were fighting in Atlantic City. So a buddy of mine had the opportunity to go to Atlantic City for the fight. Once the fight was over, we all remember that Foreman lost to Evander Holyfield. But the next morning, the morning after he lost the fight, there were people there who were trying to then get his signature on the George Foreman wardrobe and the George Foreman grills. Saturday night he lost, but Sunday morning he won. Come on, y'all talk back to me. He won when he signed his name, and almost everybody you know has had at least one George Foreman grill. See, that's how God sometimes will allow it to seem that one moment you're losing, and the very next moment he shows up with a mighty hand and turn your situation around. His alignment will take us through different places, but he wants control. He wants to show us his care, but then his commitment. He keeps on leading us, and then he leads us by still waters. Sheep typically don't like turbulent waters, because it's there in those turbulent waters that reptiles and things that can harm them hide. Sheep do not like stagnant waters. Because if they drink from them waters many times are parasitic and have issues in them, and dirt and trash and poison that will kill them. But a quiet, still stream means that things are flowing and they can see the harm, but they know it's fresh water there. And when God is leading us, he wants to lead us in a way of peace that we know no matter what comes up, sickness, financial issues, relationship issues, that there is peace. Sometimes we pray for too much stuff. We pray for this and we pray for that. When was the last time you just prayed for peace? Oh, when was the last time you were able to go to bed and go to sleep? When was the last time you just had peace in your home and peace on your job and peace in school, and you just felt so comfortable because you knew you were walking in God's perfect peace? When your life is upset, remember this sermon, because you're going to want peace then. See, Satan wants to trick us into believing that there can never be peace, but in God's grace, I can find joy. I can find favor. I can find peace. I can find happiness. And no matter what is going on, if I call on the name of the Lord, he will answer my prayer. This text today is one that just simply assures us that it's important that we have the right alignment. Shared with you earlier that an early service that last year sometime, I believe it was, I bought my wife a new set of tires and we put them on the car, and she ended up hitting some bumps, and because it was on her way to work then, she would hit this bump every day. And eventually it knocked the car out of line. get in her car and I'm driving it on this particular day. And in order for me to go straight, I have to literally turn the steering wheel to the side. In my car, I would be making a left turn. But in her car, I'm going straight. I finally get out. I look at the tires. I look at her. I say, baby, what happened? And she said, I knew that thing was driving kind of funny, but it kept on going, so I didn't pay any attention to it. And when I looked at the tires, what I realized is that the tires looked good on the outside, but they were all worn up on the inside. My brothers and sisters, that's how many of us have become when we are out of line with God. We look good on the outside. But if you could really see us on the inside, we are worn out. We are tore up because we are out of alignment with God. God just doesn't want you to travel in the same direction. He wants you to be on the same road with Him. God says, I need us to get into the right alignment. Challenges will come. Issues will come. Sleepless nights may come. But when you're on the right road, God is going to provide and He's going to make a way for you. In St. Mark chapter number 4, you will remember that Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. The Bible says He goes and He gets on His ship and He tells the disciples, let us pass to the other side. Read it in that same passage, and it goes on to say, and with them were other little ships. Once the storm came and once all of the rain and once all of the waves beat up against the ship, in chapter number 5, the Bible says, and when they had crossed over, exiting the ship were the disciples and Jesus. What it did not say was that the other little ships, what Jesus was not aboard of, crossed over to the other side. I wish I had one Bible reader here. What I'm trying to say with you, you can have people going the same way, but if they don't have Jesus on board, there's no guarantee that they're going to cross over. That's why it's important that we are always connected to our Lord and Savior, and that we're not only going in the same direction, but we're riding with Him and He's on board. That's the only way I can bathe and bask in this divine assurance. I have to be in the place where God is blessing. A couple of years ago, you guys won the Super Bowl, and I heard you shouting all the way in Louisiana. But 2 years earlier, it didn't quite look that way. And I could remember watching, and I was rooting for Peyton Manning because he's a New Orleans boy, and I was cheering for him. And I just could remember how there were times he would drop back, and he was throwing the ball, and one receiver was running a button hook, but he was throwing the out. Yeah. Yeah. The pass was good. The route was good, but they wasn't together. Another time, someone was running a deep post, and another time, Peyton threw a flag when this one was running the post. The route was good, the pass was good, but they wasn't together. There has to be timing and the right route from the quarterback to the receiver. And many times, God is throwing this way, and we are running the other way. But when we are where we need to be and we run the right routes and God throws it to where He expects us to be, that's when we live in that next level of joy and favor and peace, when we can say we know that God is on our side. My brothers and sisters, it has to be in an alignment with God. There are some things that no matter how good they feel to our flesh, if it's outside of God's will, He cannot bless it. We have to let some things go in order to be in God's will. We have to let some people go in order to be in God's will. We have to let some old places go in order to be in God's will. And make sure that we are in His alignment. And when we are finally in that alignment, we then experience the blessed assurance. Y'all remember that old song? Blessed assured Jesus is mine. Listen, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. When we in the right alignment, everything we do on this side is just a foretaste of what is going to happen. When Gabriel and Michael blow the trumpet and we all gather from all corners of the world and we rest in eternity with Jesus himself, and we can see not how we got over, but who brought us over. And how many times he brought us out of trouble. And how many bridges he crossed us over. And how many ditches he got us out of. And how many things he kept that we didn't even know from ever interfering with our lives. It is at that moment we can look back and say, I'm thankful that I was connected to God and he was connected to me. I challenge you on today as I take my seat, family. You must remember that divine assurance is one thing, but you will never experience the assurance without a divine alignment. I ask you this question. Are you on the right track as it relates to your relationship with God? And if you are, let the church hear you by saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise for the word on today. Amen, amen, amen. We ask that you stand up all over the auditorium as we extend two invitations to you on today. Our first invitation this morning is an invitation to become a citizen of God's kingdom. That can happen, my brothers and sisters, simply by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Believing he died on Friday. Believing that he got up Sunday morning. That is our testimony. And if you believe that, we extend, we invite you to become part of God's kingdom, a citizen in God's kingdom. My brothers and sisters, this is the most selfish moment of the worship service. This moment here is all about you. It is all about you, my brothers and sisters. It is about your relationship. It's about where you are with God. Our second invitation is an invitation to membership of the True Light Church of Denver. This is your opportunity, my brother, my sister, that you can come, that you can connect with us as we continue to build on the foundation that has been laid, that we can grow together, learn together, mature together in the sight of God. Never say, I'll come when I get right, because outside of God, you cannot get right. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. God doesn't care about what you did on yesterday. He only cares about the opportunity you have before you right now. This is your opportunity to respond. This is your opportunity to respond. To become a citizen in God's kingdom. To become a member here at this local church. To connect with the family of True Light, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity.